Beyond, 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 beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Yes, yes, yes. October the 5th, 2014. Casual as they like, he wanders into the kitchen just as the theme tune starts, thinking, I'll make myself a cup of tea before. Yeah, I haven't got 3 minutes, I've just got one. Anyway, hello everybody. It's me and my kettle. See? It's a proper...
Hi, Jay. It's hello. Nancy here.
It's Nancy. Nancy's
on the
call.
I don't know where the other two are, but I'm here.
Yeah.
With my coffee ready and plenty of time.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, yeah, lucky you.
I got more time than you do.
That's right.
You just produced another show.
That's right. I have the changeover. Anyway, not only that, I've been working on my website this afternoon, and we'll probably talk about that as well. One of the things Nancy and I have been discussing is that we should have, like, a regular show where we talk about stuff that we're into, like the shungite, but mainly the energy levels on which these things are working. And that's what I call metatronics. That's it's beyond electrons. It's other things that are not in our... It's not what you get taught at high school. Let's put it that way. There is science to it. And the science, at the moment, I would call black science or black ops science. This has been, I think, part of my mission over the last few years, is to basically expose black ops science to the general public, because it's true. And it's, in a way, once it's out there, it's undisputable and people can start using it. And people already have started using it. I think it's really cool. You know, I've been talking to, you know, I have a kind of large audience on a Monday night on the Revolution Radio Show, and I've had a few people feeding back to me saying, you know, well, I've built one, you know, I've made some organite, or I've built a pyramid, and it's a real buzz to see that, you know, somebody else has been turned onto this stuff. And the more people we turn on over the planet, the more likely we'll have a sort of critical mass of telepathic people all quantumly linked together, because we're all... it's like having a TV channel that nobody's used yet, and you can put up your own programs if you like. You know, you can just use it and people can communicate on it, but it's not officially owned by anybody. And it's a bit like the internet used to be before Microsoft took over, before the NSA took over. And, you know, when you and I are using DARPANET and ARPANET, you know. Anyway, so we've got some people on the call now. Oh, that's great. Hello, everybody. Walt Silver, good afternoon.
Hello there. How are you, JP? Hello, everyone.
I'm very well. How are you doing?
It's autumn. Cold is coming.
So it is. Cold is already here.
Oh.
But, you know, it's like being bald. You know, you find out whether it's raining first. Up here in the north, we'll tell you when winter's coming. Up at 57 degrees. We also have on the call Mr. Dr. Professor Jay Larson. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's nice here in Phoenix. It's still in the low 90s.
Can you hear jealousy over the airwaves? Anyway, does jealousy go over Skype? Well, anyway, it's been a lovely day afternoon here, and we've been indoors all day, so that's been great. I called you here. You may be wondering why I called you all here today. It's something Nancy
reading of the will.
Yeah, exactly. My will. My first will. I was talking with Nancy the other day, and she was saying, you know, why don't we have a regular show? We were kind of bouncing an idea around. I thought, right, well, okay, it's first of the month, first show of the month. I've got no regular guest, no book guest, so let's do this today. And so I thought, right, who's switched on? And Jay and Walt and Nancy, you're all people who have been on Ever Beyond. We've been discussing stuff like this, and it's really nice to kind of add you all one drop into the mix of intelligence that we have in the morphogenic field that is the Ever Beyond continuum. So, to that end, greetings, everybody. So why we're here? Well, we're here because we know through experience about certain aspects of what people are calling the new energies, or even the traditional ancient energies that we've forgotten. With Jay, we've been discussing scalar energies and odic forces, and Jay indeed sent me a device which he built, and it's a odic force or scalar wave generator. It's one of those. It's a Caduceus coil. Hello, Jay. What have you been up to? You probably have moved on from making devices, but what have you been up to recently? It's been a while.
Well, recently I've been basically working self-development. Technology is grand, but the real technology is in the physical body. So basically what I've been doing is, basically this ascension thing is very simple. You have basically a polarity of energy. When you're feeling down, you get more solid and serious. When you're light and joyful, you up your vibration rate. But the key is not to be in either one, because you have a tendency to flip back and forth. But the thing to do is to gather them all, both without judgment, and integrate them into your system, so you become a neutral and unaffected by this reality at all. But I always had, when studying scalar waves, the funny thing that got to me is the main force of the scalar is an absolute zero, nothing. You may call it like a void. But you have these voids in between every frequency, and from one reality to the next reality, you have this scalar void that blocks your reality from another reality. It acts like a membrane, and by learning to access this membrane, we can pull in energy or actually use it for a means of transportation.
How do you access it?
I've been working just you can produce a pulse field of any frequency, and what you do is it's like producing two magnetic wave pulses that are north field orientated, and you push them against each other. This causes a disturbance in the, what you would call, ether. And then there's a flow of energy in from that ether to compensate for it. It has a tendency to push both fields back out of the way. But if you have the device built where that
that energy can't be pushed back away. That energy has to move somewhere else. And you can access the energy from that. Now, the difference between one reality and another is just a matter of frequency. Even while we're on the earth, we all have different frequencies. So we're in this world, but not of it, because the collective view as a general frequency that allows a number of frequencies to become nested, so we can all have our individual world while we operate under a general frequency area. Now, if we shift beyond that frequency area, we don't exist on this, in this reality. We shift to another reality. It's all a matter of frequency driven from the inside of the vehicle that you're in mostly right now, but you can also, by use of electronic force and stuff, cause the ship to temporarily move parallel dimensions or even time or spatial coordinates.
Jay, I don't hear you saying anything about a timeline. Do you not address timelines, because you're talking about different dimensions?
Well, basically, all a timeline is, you have a flow inward and a flow outward. You call the flow inward reverse time. Flow outward basically is positive time. As you go, you know, you age during a positive time. You regress in age when you're with the opposite field. When you take, it's like taking a positron and an electron pair. The positron is an antimatter particle, but it only seems like an antimatter particle, because these particles really don't annihilate. One's moving forward in time, and one's moving backward in time. All we do is we learn to pulse the field at a specific frequency, and this frequency is not in relationship to, say, the Earth's frequency. It's going to cause a shift in time and space. In fact, you can pulse at Earth's frequency at about 8 cycles per second. I was using a strobe light, and what I did, I disconnected the strobe wire off the bulb and reconnected it to a hoop that I made with windings on it, and it would cause a shift. It caused the shift in the ley lines would adjust so that it was connected to my field, but it created some very unusual effects, nausea, all kinds of weird things.
My question here is the multiple timelines. You do not believe in multiple timelines, or you do believe in multiple timelines, in that I see it as that every potential that is out there creates its own timeline. And so, the universe is just a composite of all possibilities, all timelines. And right. Certain timelines become dominant for a certain group of people. In this case, we have a matrix dominating kind of timeline where people don't understand their own powers. They don't understand the powers that are accessible through the ethers, and so you have a differentiation in the timelines.
Go ahead. Actually, on timelines are related to the frequency that you hold within. See, if your frequency is different from your neighbor's, if you are more light and jovial and things, negative things don't usually happen to people that don't have any fear. And what happens is, if you go back in time, you're going to follow your timeline back. you're not going to follow your neighbor's timeline.
But my timeline would be fixed?
It would be fixed to the frequency that you are in right now. But that's the only difference.
Generally. See, I see more that timelines are shifting all the time, that people shift to different timelines all the time.
Oh, yeah, they do.
You know, because, yes, and when you shift to a new timeline, the entire past is changed, as well mm-hmm. as the future. That's why a lot of people, they go, and we have a major, everybody says, oh, my God, we must have, you know, something happened. There's an energy shift in this sort of thing. If you're detecting a timeline shift, not only where you are is different, where you're going is different, but where you've been is different.
Oh, definitely. But you got to remember, if you're traveling time, you're only going to be to the timeline of the frequency of your body. You're not going to be to a collective timeline. See, if you're running the higher portion of the frequency of the collective, as opposed to a lower frequency, your timelines could shift. Not become bunched up. See, you got to look at it much like a bunch of cables coming together. Certain frequencies will meet, but then they spread apart a ways and meet. There's a number of nexus points. When you're running any time machine that you run, generally will travel your individual timeline, not the collective timeline. Which means it may be totally different from the others, because what you've done in the past, everyone has not done the same thing. See where you are now, that means your future will be different as well. Not necessarily in relation to the collective. You got your own individual timelines as well. And
so timelines are stratified and layered based on their fundamental frequency of each one.
Right. So
essentially, you can go up and down the layers.
If you go over frequency, you're just going to end up on another timeline. But they're going to also exist on that timeline, because we exist on all the timelines simultaneously.
And that's why you don't find yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you can never meet yourself, because you were already there to begin with.
You're already there. All you're doing is moving your consciousness from one body to another.
And maybe memories might be different, though.
Oh, yeah, but you probably also remember what you've experienced. So if you go in there and you find you got two memories, then you realize you did a time jump.
So that's how, if I'm understanding correctly, this also makes me think of the mechanism that walk-ins use when somebody vacates a body and a walk-in comes in into that adult body, they continue running with the same set of memories, because it's already part of that timeline continuum. So all they have to read the record and, okay, here's the vehicle and here's mm-hmm. the memories that go with this vehicle.
Well, usually the walk-ins are just another portion of the same soul. It's just, you may just have more of a boost from the higher self, and it feels like you're new. Usually it's not a true walk-in. It's, you're just getting added help from yourself. A little more of your higher self coming into the body to help, because you're in distress. And it can also be the other parts of you sending love to you to help bolster yourself, so you can overcome whatever you need to overcome. But it feels like you have so much energy, like you're a totally different person, even though, remember this, you have a little bit more connection, and mm-hmm. that you would feel like you just walked into the body.
I think what Walt's talking about is when some other entity actually enters into a physical body and the person who was there is exited.
But
like the case of William Melville.
Well, most of the time you're just having a other aspect of your higher self moving in. And it usually is an assist. It's not the other moves out.
I got to tell you a story because it's such a it's intriguing. I'd forgotten to tell Jay and Walt about this one. I don't know if we had the opportunity, but we're going to talk about shungite probably later in the show. But I was at an event and I was vendoring shungite, and it was a total disaster. We were in a barn like thing. It was dark. Nobody could see anything, and the event actually boiled down to people on a free booze run. They would go to these different places, get free booze. So nobody was carrying packages; they were carrying glasses of booze. So anyway, it was just a terrible event. And I finally decided to just start giving the shungite away, giving pieces of the shungite with some literature away. And there was this man that was walking in front of me. Now we were right in a traffic area, and right behind that, about 20 feet away from us, was the line for the free bar. So it was a really peculiar situation, especially when you're trying to do something like get shungite to the masses in a sacred way. But there was this guy walking by, and normally I would give it to them if they looked at the table. This guy didn't look at the table at all. But the weird thing was he was probably in his late 50s, early 60s maybe. He was carrying a Vogue magazine under his left arm, and it was kind of cockeyed. And as he's walking by, I got the impulse to just reach out and say, hey, take this with you. So I do, only to realize that the guy is really drunk. And then he tried to pick me up. Okay. So I'm like, oh my God, how did I get into this? And my partner, Stephanie, comes back to the table. And I said, this guy's trying to pick me up, Steph. Could you just get rid of him? Just make him disappear. And she said, yeah, he's gone. And I turned around, and by God, he was gone. Well, about 20 minutes later, I'm sitting there, and I see the same guy walking exactly the same distance from my table with the Vogue magazine under his arm, no glass in his hand, and I think he had a different shirt on, but he certainly wasn't drunk. He was clean and sober, and he walked right by the table and never looked at us at all. And I'm sitting there going like, I think I just saw a time marker. Now, what we've been noticing is that a number of us had talked about it, is it was like the Stepford Wives. We're seeing a lot of people out there who are walking around who just don't feel like they've got a lot of energy in them, like they're robotic, like they're Stepford Wives. And I started calling them time markers because Walt and I, and probably Jay, are really attempting to create a new reality, knowingly create a new reality by bringing in new thoughts, by delving into the science of the energies, and to actually program a new timeline. And I feel that the timeline that is being created, and we're getting confirmation from some notable people that they're feeling like, oh, all of a sudden, instead of the really bad World War III timeline compared to the lovey-dovey timeline, there seems to be a third timeline that's suddenly starting to manifest. And I interpreted what I was seeing with these robotic people kind of things as being time markers. They're there should the person decide to jump to our timeline. And as I watched this little thing last Friday, I just was like, yeah, I think that's how it works. Because when I reached out and I handed him that shungite, that time marker, took that shungite, and that shungite, which is so dominant in our new reality, locked in a guy from another timeline that was drawn into ours, just slightly off in time, 20 minutes. He was still carrying the Vogue magazine. It was still in the same position. So anyway, that's why I'm questioning you on timelines, because I think that they do exist. And I think that if we can understand how they're working around us, that we'll get a better glimpse of the expanded universe that is our own consciousness.
So it's like a lot of bubbles, you know. It's like a bubble bath, and you're moving from one bubble to the next.
Yeah.
And what happened was, when you asked your friend to help you, she shifted your timeline. And that guy come, when you're on the other guy, on the other timeline, that guy came 20 minutes later. And that's what you noticed. It was the timeline shift was your timeline. You shipped to timelines.
No, absolutely not. I absolutely know that for a fact. I do not shift timelines like other people shift timelines, because I knowingly shifted timelines back in the 1990s. Because like you were saying, I was on my own lovely little timeline with a whole bunch of people that were ascending. And we were given the option. You can stay on this timeline, you can ascend right out of this 3D environment, or you can make the decision to jump to another timeline that is going down the really wrong path. And I know I jumped, and I think a lot of other people jumped. So I understand timelines, and I can see the fluctuation. I can see the details that change in a timeline shift. And if people would pay attention, they'll realize that there's little indicators. Like the best one I've got is I've got a walkway that's got paving stones in it. And we had a shift where three paving stones were added to that. Now, I realized it right away, but I said to my friends, is there something weird about, do you see a change in this area of the yard? And they all realized that those pavement things had not been there before. Okay, so I pay attention to details, and I know I did not shift timelines. This guy shifted timelines, because we've got shungite on this timeline that draws other people who are in a point in their own evolution where they're opening up their minds, their spirits, everything is happening. And the shungite is reaching out and saying, come here, this is where home is. This is where home is. And it's drawing people to this timeline that, because I've written a book, Jay Larson, you don't know this, but I've written a book, and the book starts out with cosmic reality rules. And the first rule is reality is what we think it is. The second rule is majority rules. The third rule is everybody who's in charge of that reality will keep everybody else from realizing rule one and two. So I'm firmly convinced that we can create reality, that we are in charge of it. Not only are we in charge of it, which is, I mean, reality building, as Walt has now pointed out, there's a new cosmic reality rule, that when you understand that you are in charge of your own reality, that is absolute power. And with absolute power comes absolute responsibility. So we are knowingly attempting to use and manipulate the energy universe to create another option, another timeline, where you don't have this World War II Armageddon thing, and you don't have this, oh, everything is good thing. You have a merging of, just like you said on your last show, I just listened to 2 hours of you talking to JP earlier in, it was in July of 13, and it was really awesome to me to listen to you, because I'm thinking, gosh, this guy knew this back in 13, you know? You really put together the same thing that Walt and I have discovered together in part. We just sort of come together and talk about it, and JP too. So it's what I'm feeling is that the reality that we are creating, knowingly creating, is being created by people like you, who got there even faster than we did. We're coming up behind you. We saw it, we did it, but you were actually out there and talking about it and had it really formalized. And maybe Walt had the same thing, and maybe JP did, and maybe I did. But what's happening is like you said on the show before, is that people are coming together to open their minds to a new existence. Okay, who's up next?
Oh, I'd like to say something about... I didn't know what shungite was because I never used it. But wolverines I'm familiar with because I've taken them internally. And most of that substance that you use has a lot of wolverines in it. But I used to take wolverines and olive oil. And what getting me a wolverine molecule looks much like the earth ley lines when they all lock in and form the grid. So I thought that they do benefit for the body, and so I was taking them to experiment with them.
They had a study done with mice, and they had mice that were given the fullerenes. Now, for the audience, you can make fullerenes in the laboratory. The only place they're supposed to exist naturally is in the vacuum of outer space. But they can be made in the laboratory, and that's when he's saying that he was taking fullerenes. It was probably laboratory-made fullerenes. But they had these mice. They had the mice that weren't on it and the mice that were on it. And the mice that were on the fullerenes lived 5 years longer than the ones that didn't. However, they're not sure how long it could have gone because they actually decided they wanted to stop the experiment, and so they euthanized the last of the mice. Might have been rats, but anyway. Yeah, so fullerenes have been known to be and have been proven to be an aspect of health. But my interpretation of what's really happening is that the fullerenes are carrying an energy with them. It's not chemistry, it's energy. And it's the energy that's within the fullerenes. And, you know, Walt can talk about that because he's been making devices that are tapping into the actual capability of the fullerenes to tap into the ethers, to the 90% of the universe that we don't see because we're in the 3D.
I basically was used them inside. I figured if you instituted the fullerenes into all your cells, it would assist with the ascension process because it would allow for access and more free flowing energy within the body. That's why I was taken. I had unusual results. It just seemed to speed up the clearing process a lot faster.
But you went off of them. You don't take them anymore?
I only took them for a month.
You ought to get yourself some shungite. Then you just have to carry it around with you.
Yeah, then I can just grab the frequency of that and add it to my body by locating the frequency.
Well, we think the frequency is the Schumann frequency.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Walt,
at least that's what I think.
Walt's got a wavelength. What was your shungite wavelength?
I'm sorry?
You determined the wavelength.
The length
shungite.
Of the...
Yeah.
The length of the coil that produces the same essence energy?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that was 41 inches and 3/16.
41 and 3/16 inches, brothers and sisters, is shungite's frequency.
And to my surprise, I didn't get that measurement. I didn't invent the measurement. It was given to me, you know, through the guidance when I was making this a different kind of shungite coil, which is, it's double wound, meaning it's not all in the same direction. It's wound in two different directions. I had to locate the center of the measure in order to start from the center and wind it from the center out so that when you turn it on, it's creating two toroidal fields that are spinning in opposite directions. When I'm looking for the center value, I get 20.589 inches, which is an Egyptian royal cubit.
Hang on, say that again. How did you get the 20.589?
I'm sorry?
How did you get 20.589?
When too bad we can't show pictures. I made these three devices that, according to Nancy, are going someplace. And if you look at your shungite spirit spiral, it's wound in one direction. In one specific direction. Imagine.
Yeah, I've got. It's going anti-clockwise.
Imagine when you take a piece of wire, you're grasping the very center of it, and you take the two ends and you wind them in the same direction. You're creating two spiral arms, like the two spiral arms of a galaxy. But what happens is when you turn it on with the shungite, since the argon is flowing in one single direction, it's changing directions when it reaches to the center. So the coil is generating two toroidal fields that are spinning in opposite directions.
Yeah, what you're doing, you're creating a zero point in the center, so you're getting a reflection of the opposite energy in the opposite direction as well, at a halfway frequency.
But J is breaking up.
Yeah, because 20.589 is half of 41.3364 thereabouts, ballpark figure. So what you've got is do you have any? How do you fine tune this kind of thing?
How do you talking to?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'll ask Walt because how would you fine tune this? And then I'll ask Jay, and then I'll ask Nancy.
Fine tune in what sense?
Well, your ability to cut 20.589 is limited to by like exact measures.
Well, I don't need to cut it. All I needed to do was find the center so that I could grab it with the pliers and start winding from that point.
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, to grab the center. Yeah. But
yeah.
So, okay, so you got it's creating a zero point because you're producing what's that word? Counter rotating.
Correct.
Toroids. So what do you
and in the middle where the zero point in the middle where the zero point is a shungite in the fullerenes, and those fullerenes access the etheric. Oh, good. Now Walt's got the picture up. You guys can't see it out there in the real world, but yeah, we got to be able to put some pictures up so people can see some of these devices that he creates.
Yes, but we need the whiteboard.
Yes, and the thing of it is that the shungite, we know that the shungite has with the fullerenes. I mean, these are huge molecules, and they're probably the basis for life. That they're actually accessing the quantum. So when you've got the zero point, it's like what I think that JL was talking about was that you're taking the two and you're trying to force them apart so that you've got an avenue to go with. But when you're dealing with the shungite in a zero point, you're actually opening up any avenue. It's like all of a sudden there is nothing that's restricting you. And that's why the shungite has made all of the difference in all of the devices that are working within this realm. And I suggest to anybody that's working out there, learn about shungite. It's a magical mineral that has no reason for being where it is. And the things that it's doing, every time we test it. Tell them about the light thing and how it increases the speed of electricity, Walt.
Sorry, what?
The light experiment you did, where you had the light and you took it, cut it, and you put the shungite and got the circuit back, but how fast the electricity was going?
Oh no, that I found out through the I did it through dowsing that I noticed that every time I would turn on the coil with the shungite and the circuit, meaning that the argon and the wire is flowing through the shungite, it would get cold. And I remember I told you I used a digital thermometer to confirm that it was getting cold, not just a sensation of the skin. So I started asking with my pendulum, and I know that when a coil gets turned on just by itself, which is just the copper, the argon flows in the wire at the speed of electricity. But in this case, it was going faster. So I started asking how many times faster. And it finally stayed at 4. So it was telling me that the argon in the wire was flowing at 4 times the speed of electricity, which explains why it got cold, at least to me. Maybe Jay has a totally different interpretation.
Well, usually when a wire gets cold like that, you're producing what's called negative electricity, which is a time-reversed electricity.
Jay is breaking up.
You're producing a time-reverse electricity, which the more you produce, the colder it gets. And it's probably also making the place where the substance was a superconductor.
Yeah.
So you may also, if you would put a scale underneath the material while you're doing that, you may have show some weight loss or something as well, so it may have you know, reverse, it may also reverse gravitational effects to a certain extent.
Well, experience is showing us not only, even the experience of others, that the device is very psychoactive. Just speaking about it or thinking about it, it actually turns on. You know when it's off because you touch it and it's at room temperature, and when you ask it to run a program, it gets cold. And some change happens, and then it goes back to normal room temperature. So, it will react to consciousness, and it does turn on and off as you indicate.
It sounds like the perfect device.
And it will also change. It will also change its power levels. You can control the power levels.
Or if you need to attract something to you, it would bring it towards you very quickly as well. Mm-hmm. It would act much like some of these radionic devices, where it would pull into manifestation at a much faster rate.
Yes, it does that.
That's
and the thing that what we also know is that when you project your consciousness into the field of the spiral, your consciousness actually expands. At least this is the experience that I've had with it. You know, that you actually feel like your consciousness is expanded. You can learn things faster. You can think things with more focus. The more you play with it, the farther it'll take you. So these little devices but the thing of it is it's only a device, and that it is based on science. But it is a gift, you know, to us from the Mother Earth. We got this place in Russia that's got this shungite field, and that's the only place you can get it. And once we've gotten this and we've gotten these devices, what I think is happening is that we, the people that are out there individually and in groups trying to reality change. Let's not let any of this other stuff. Let's do something that is a really, really kind of neat and cool reality. And those of us that are knowingly doing it have been given this gift from the Mother Earth, who I call Gaia, and that particular gift is shungite, which allows us to expand our consciousness and essentially expand our ability to manipulate the energy universe that is leveling the field against those people out there, the dark forces, that think that they should be in charge of reality. So, you know, that's what I'm seeing. JP, are you still with us?
Yeah, of course I'm still here. So, creating is this the double? All right. So here's the thing where it comes to me, and like how we merge these two technologies, the inner and the outer. The idea of what we call the Merkaba is a pair of rotating tetrahedrons that are rotating in their own direction clockwise, and but one's pointing up, one's pointing down. You merge the two. That creates the thing they call the Merkaba. And if you can create that in your mind, you suddenly find yourself in a spaceship. It's pretty neat. And what happens, this device that Walt sent me, which looks like a little, it's kind of shaped like a flying saucer, little kind of thing in the middle, this gradually spiring out very thick copper wire, gorgeous thick copper wire. You know. I must tell you about our weekend in a minute, because my girlfriend Wolf Baby and I we've been making things, and we got down to making. And so if you go to my Ever Beyond Radio site and look under products and look under Shungite products, you'll see some of these creations, and they're just to die for. And they're incredibly reasonable price. I mean, really reasonable price. And Nikki makes them all, and she's quite amazing at that. So just check them out. I mean, they're all unique, She's very good with it. Yeah.
You made that life light ring?
I think that was a qubit or one of these royal or lost, or I think probably a lost qubit. Uh-huh. And then there's that thing. Can you see the spirally thing that they're sitting on?
Is that flat or 3D?
It's a very loose version of the slim Sperling thingy.
The AccuVac coil.
AccuVac, yes, that's what it's called. How long did they have to be?
How do you mean?
The frequency is determined by the length of the wire that you make the coil out of, yeah?
Well, one of the things with the AccuVac coil is that the separation, the space that's separating the coil also plays a role into the field. Because what happens is if you space them so that they're touching each other, the volume of argon that flows through the center will be less than if you space them where the space is equal to the thickness of the wire. And I got through my dowsing that the maximum separation should be no more than three thicknesses of the wire. After that, there's no advantage to it. It's very little change. So the separation is one thing, and the length is another thing. You have to play with the two. Now, when I was doing the experiments with the argon, and I was measuring the intensity of the field of the two different types of coil, the implosion coil and the AccuVac coil, I found that the Shungite amplified the implosion coil far more than it amplified the AccuVac coil. Because in the AccuVac, you only have two vectors of argon movement. In the implosion coil, you have three vectors of movement. So it's like the Shungite liked it better. I don't know. It's just difference in measurements from one to the other. In this one, according to the picture, it looks like you made it. It's not a single piece of wire, but twisted wire.
Yeah, I've been having such great fun. I find it very, very relaxing thing to do. What I do is I pick up scrap from, you know, electric and building and things like that. I collect, you know, small lengths of copper wire. So, you know, the really thick stuff. So I make stuff out of it. And then, I strip it down. And so I've got a few of these things. And then I've got this nice length of, I don't know what it is, but probably about 22 gauge copper wire. And I saw the technique, you know, you just put it around a staple. I got it set up in my shed. I got a staple stuck in the wall. Put it around a staple and take the two pieces of wire, fold the ends over, put them in the chuck of my old electric drill. I showed this to Wolf Baby this afternoon. She was, and it's great fun, I have to say. And you guys go zit 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 zit. And it creates the tension, and it's just using a regular old fashioned, really old electric drill.
That makes the AccuVac coil different, because that means that this thing will actually output out of both ends. When it's made with a single length of wire, it will have an absorbing negative end and a projecting positive end. In your case, because you've made it in that way, the argon flow in the wire is going in both directions. So this, you will, if you take your pendulum and douse it, you will see that both ends of the coil are actually positive.
Right, that's interesting. So why are they not too double negative then? What's the reason for that?
it goes back to what Jay has been talking about, scalar, because that's one of the things that I found. The same way that when I found, again, you know, using my dowsing instruments, the same way that when you have a conductor and you have electron flow in the conductor, you have a magnetic field forming around the conductor perpendicular to the direction of flow. And the magnetic lines flow, move in rotation around that axis of flow. The argon does the same thing, but instead of being magnetic, it's a field of subtle light, like etheric light. So when it flows through the wire, it's creating like a etheric vapor or an etheric mist around the conductor. So when you put them together and they're flowing in opposite directions, instead of canceling each other out, like you would have in a caduceus coil where the two cross each other, the magnetic component gets collapsed. What happens in this, it actually expands and gets big. It regenerates a field of etheric light, so much so that if you take that big ring that you've made, I know my mom can see it and other people can see it, you pick it up and you see, you know, you look out into space, relax your eyes and look out into space and look through the center opening of the ring, you will notice that there's a kind of a membrane there, very much like the membrane, like when you take a hoop and you dip it in detergent and you blow bubbles, you have that iridescent membrane of soap and water. The same thing happens.
Exactly. I saw exactly as you said it. Yeah.
Correct. And you pick it up and it does that. And not only that, but it's actually useful. Slim Sperling did an experiment with an astronomer, and he put this ring on the mouth of a telescope, and the astronomer was able to get better resolution and better view. Every time he would put and remove the ring, he kind of saw a flash in the eyepiece, and he didn't understand what it was. And that's how I made for my mom a couple of glasses. I did not use arbitrary measurements. I actually used the geometry of her face to figure out what would be the ideal ring size and just mounted them on a pair of metal glass frames without glasses, just the frames. And she puts them on when she watches TV, and she says the TV looks sharper and closer. And there's no lens. It's just empty space. She's looking through the ring.
And it's made with this twisted wire. No.
Yeah, the only difference is that instead of being round, hers look like the rings look like a vesica pisces. They're flattened.
Oh, quite stylish then.
So, it's actually, you can actually use that bit. Another experiment that Sperling did, holding a ring in one hand, he flashed the laser beam of a laser pointer through the center space of the ring, and immediately he felt a tingling in his fingers, because that membrane of light was actually taking a portion of that laser light, and it was being spread and moved toward the perimeter, to where the ring is. So he was feeling the sensation in his fingers. So he did a lot of experiments with that.
Wow, that's really cool. I tell you, we hung it up today. So let's talk about what we did today. And if anybody wants to look at the things that we've been doing, if you go to everbeyondradio.com and then go to products and then look under Shungite products, there's a picture of five little pieces here. And you'll be able to see what Wolf Baby and I have been making, plus indeed the ring that Walt's been talking about, Walt and I have just been discussing, plus the little loose AccuVac. You've seen that one then, Walt? The very
yep.
loose
mm-hmm.
AccuVac. So that's essentially what it is. It's a very loose one.
You're using silver solder, right?
Yeah, I'm using lead-free solder. So the lovely thing is that I got some very fine fishing line, and I hung up the AccuVac in the middle of the ring of the hoop, and hung that up on a piece of fishing line. So basically, the spiral is in the center of the hoop, and if it's hanging up, you can, and because of the weight of it. You know, it's quite a hefty piece of copper. And if you spin it really hard, this little spiral loop thing in the middle will start spinning. And I took a quick video of it with my smartphone. I might make a bit of better one later. But it looks so beautiful because this thing is spinning right round really, really fast. And the spiral's going up and down because it's spinning around in sympathy with it. It's beautiful. So, if you can imagine.
Well, as long as we're talking about products, Walt's Shungite spiral, you can get them at cosmicreality.net, the Shungite store. And you can also go over to his place, which is the newparadigmtools.com. newparadigmtools.com. And you can get them over there too. So that these things are available for you. We suggest that you do not, if you do not understand dowsing and how to be able to determine the positive and the negative end of not only the coils but the shungite, do not mess around with this stuff, because Walt is somebody and Jay is somebody that are meticulous in the way that they're building these. But if you make a mistake, A, they probably won't work, but B, they could hurt you. Now, that's not us talking. That's something that happened in Stilling's work, and it, even with the spirals, okay, even with Walt's spirals, there has been Walt and another person who turned them on too high. Now, Walt was working with six of them, but this other person was somebody who is only really starting to understand energy, and when you get them up too high, you'll get like a sunburn. Now, the sunburn, as soon as you turn off the device, it'll go away. It doesn't have any lasting effect. But there, we're dealing in energies that if you are not pure of heart, you have to be absolutely pure of heart, because this is a gift. This is a gift from Gaia to, it's almost, somebody called it, Shungite, her armor. But this, the stuff and the devices and the orgone and the energy and the science, it's new. And we understand that you have to have a very firm grip of your own beingness. If you're somebody out there that's on drugs or you're just playing at this, don't do it. Don't do it. If you're somebody that's pure at heart, that really sees what we're, understands what we're talking about, then give this stuff a try, because it will assist light workers and people of good heart, because we, you know, not only is the Shungite program not to do no evil, but when Walt makes them, he programs them that they won't do any evil. And when I've got them and I send them out to a customer, I program them they will do no evil. So that you've got people that along the way are saying, do not, you know, you cannot allow this to hurt anybody. But if you're going at it with the wrong intentions, then, you know, it's on you, not us. So if you really want to get into this, then you contact Walt. But don't be doing it on your own, because we really, in all honesty, we know this is a massively powerful new science. It's not new, but a massive science of energy that we're only beginning to understand again, and that you have to take it seriously. It's not something that is imagination. Even if you can't see it, because if your mind's not prepared to see it, you will not see it. It's there, it's happening, but you can't see it because your mind has been programmed not to see it. So if you're somebody that's really, really into understanding what we're saying, then try it. It's not going to hurt you. But if you got the wrong intention, it's on you. Just a warning. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, it's not my fault I put the wrong uranium in the bomb.
235, 235, I told you.
That's what we should do, is make a love bomb. You could take this material and set it up at frequency and put it at all the ley lines on the earth, and really give the negative polarity people a problem that they won't believe, because you program to increase the energy of the earth and help protect it.
That's exactly what this is, Jay.
Has been spying on our activities?
Jay, this is how it started. JP and I were talking about creating the People's Pyramid Project, where we would get pyramids to people all over the world, and they would set them up based on the ley lines, and we would give Gaia and everybody else another circuit to work with. And then Shungite showed up on the horizon, and now I'm starting to play with Shungite, and then Walt comes in and he says, well, I can make you something that's much better than a pyramid. So that's exactly what we're hoping, is that people that are enlightened, they end up on ley line PowerPoints anyway. They're drawn to them. And so if they've got the spirals and they're doing good intention and they're you know, exactly what you're saying, JL.
It's just J. The L is part of my last name.
Oh, I know that. I know that. I'm saying L so that JP doesn't, you know.
JL and JP, you see.
Oh, okay.
No, I understood you were not the father of Superman. Wasn't that his name? Or KL?
He could well be, you know.
Well, maybe. I don't know that, do I?
He's been hiding in Arizona all these years. Yeah, no, not in the ice castle. You know.
Well, actually, I'm living in Phoenix because basically Phoenix is basically the sign for the ascension, you know, the resurrection, so to speak. That's all what we're trying to do, but we're not trying to do it just for ourselves. We're trying to do it for the whole planet. We're helping Gaia resurrect, so to speak.
Absolutely. That's why I live in Miami, right across from the Atlantean pyramid structures. You know? I mean, the story of me getting here on this property is just like, if you don't believe in magic, I mean, I was like, everything. I mean, everything was got out of the way so that I was able to get this property to be the caretaker for it. So, like I say, the people that are really connected to Gaia and to what's happening, they're drawn to those PowerPoints. I mean, JP is sitting up there in Scotland, and God only knows what Scotland really is. It used to be part of the United States, you know, Scotland.
Oh, I spent a time at Miami Beach.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, it's been 15, 20 years, but back in the time when the New Age thing was just starting, I was there. I was in Newport Richey, Florida, and up in that area, later into Naples, Florida, and, you know, a lot of spiritual beings were living there. Then they seemed to move out to other places. There seemed to be a connection between places in Florida and Collier County with places in Phoenix, because Collier did a land swap with the U.S. government for some land in Phoenix. So part of our group headed out here around Phoenix and Glendale and what have you, and I've seen, you know, UFOs in broad daylight and Mesa and stuff like that, but they weren't of my variety, so I just look at them and laughed, you know, and showed them to people, you know, taking things not very seriously. You know, that's the thing, the less serious we take things, the quicker we'll move ahead. These are great things, they're great toys. Be careful. Hold the right mental attitude when you're working with them, and keep them sacred.
Yeah, that's the key. Keep them sacred.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, Florida, God only knows what Florida is really all about, because there isn't any kind of a event that happens anywhere that Florida somehow or another is not connected to them. So when I wrote Cosmic Reality, and at the end of the Cosmic Reality, when I thought it was finished, it turned out it wasn't, and I sat back down and I said, okay, what am I supposed to write? And I just started writing, and I was writing about the concept that you cannot have manifestation without consciousness. So if you've got this wonderful biosphere called Earth, you have to have a consciousness. And I didn't even really know what the word Gaia meant. It just came to me. I had to actually Google it to find out what I was talking about. And I'm going, okay, Gaia, you know. And I just wrote through it, and it got me to understand that if we cannot be completely subservient to the Creator God of this own, our own local universe, we haven't got a prayer. And because I understood it so, you know, really in my heart, I mean, it was like, oh my God, that's the answer. And I committed to her. Then, you know, within, I think it was 4 months, I ended up stumbling on Shungite. And I kept saying to people, Shungite, Shungite. But then I realized they couldn't really get the raw stuff. So I ended up going and finding the raw stuff and creating the Shungite store. And you know, so all of a sudden, you know, like the United States is not even woken up to shungite yet, and I'm like the biggest source of shungite in the United States because I was buying from, I mean, I spent thousands of dollars buying from different vendors just to see what they had. So I've got this, you know, this amazing shungite collection here, and somebody said to me, why would Gaia pick Florida to be the center of shungite for the United States? And I went, I don't know, figuring it was probably because I had made this commitment to her. But, and I've told this story, in the second vendor in his second shipment to me, the second stone that I pulled out of this, I think it was 10 kilograms, so that's 20 pounds. The second stone I pulled out is an exact replica of the state of Florida in shungite. I mean, exact. There's one little detour, you know, and somebody said, well, it's probably because that's when the waters get up high enough, you're not going to see that in Florida. So, you know, I mean, there's so much magic attached to all of this. It's just fascinating. Well, and Miami Beach is sinking, by the way. Miami Beach is going underwater, so don't go buying property in Miami Beach. You're going to get ripped off.
Yeah, and it's not subduction, it's just because of the curvature. When it finally cracks again in the middle, it'll come back up again. But anyway, we'll have to wait a couple of million years for that. Anyway, so let's have a little bit of Bill Withers. Did we play that before? No, we didn't have a chance to play that with Bill. So we're going to play that, and we'll be back in a few minutes' time. Just a lovely day. Welcome back to Ever Beyond. Thank you, Bill Withers. I think Bill must be a Buddhist. He was like going home for long periods of time to get notes like that. I mean, I don't know if you ever try singing, but holding a note that long, that perfectly, that spot on, that takes a lot of singing skills. So welcome back to the Ever Beyond Metatronics Roundtable. I don't know, we'll probably come up with a really cool name for it. But we're talking about metatronics, things that are not electronic but are tronic in their nature. They are beyond electronics, in fact. We're talking about particles that are smaller or more subtle or in a different dimension to the regular things that we're taught about in high school, yet they exist, yet they have an influence on us. In the first hour, we were talking about stuff. So, yeah, and as mentioning, you know, we were playing about with stuff last night. And I made a star tetrahedron out of this twisted torsion material. That was quite fun. And then also a vector equilibrium, which is made from four hexagons that are interleaved. So I'll be putting that up on my site soon. I haven't got a space for it quite yet, but I'll be probably selling a few small geometric forms that you know, got a little stand, you can either hang them up or have them sitting on the desk in front of you, reminding you of your divinity. That's what they are. They're pure things. They're pure figures, pure geometry. And it reminds you of your own geometry, of your own divinity. So, welcome back, everybody. Who's all raring to go?
I've got a question for JL. I got a question for you. Have you looked at the quantum energy device at all, the QED?
I've seen devices like them. That device uses a magnetic setup, but there's a whole bunch of them. When you go with high voltage, it has a tendency to gain current on its own. What I have a feeling is when you make something very unstable, it causes breakthroughs into other universes that allows energy flows. I noticed in high voltage experiments, things break down very easy, even capacitance breakdown, and things happen where the electricity that normally wouldn't pass through something will. When you take high voltage electricity and make a Faraday cage out of it and place a radioactive material within the center of it, it will cause the radioactive material to decay very quickly down to nothing. What happens is the energy, when you make something unstable within the Earth by creating a high polarization, you can manipulate between the walls, so to speak, between universes. During the Philadelphia experiment, what started it was when they were using arc welders that used high frequency and set off a large arc current, and what happened was that they were getting things sucked into the like hole that was created from it, and basically you're going from space-time to time-space. When they learn to do it different ways by using magnetic fields and stuff, you come up with the Philadelphia experiment. Taking it further, anything, as you increase the polarity of anything, you make things more unstable. See, the Earth has a tendency to try to remain neutral. So that's why you've got, when you have imbalances, you've got winds blowing in one direction, then winds blowing in another direction. You know, the Earth tries to, in nature, everything tries to stabilize to a neutral, but it's in a dynamic motion, so there is no reaching a true neutral. It goes either positive or negative, back and forth, so to speak. But when you create an increase in polarity, you can create holes in the time-space continuum, so to speak, where you can do different things. In sense, like I said, what's happening is this hologram that we call reality, certain things will cause it to break through the barrier, so to speak. And we're just starting to learn these things.
Which is what Tesla used to call radiant energy, that energy that you get when you break a circuit and you get that spark.
Yeah, well, radiant energy is a negative electricity. It's a negative time flow. It means instead of radiating outwards, everything radiates to the center of it, which means that it runs a time reverse, which means instead of to increase the energy, instead of moving out of a system, it moves into a system.
Isn't that the work of John Bedini?
Yeah, well, he was showing some of the negative electricity things with the capacitors and stuff like that. But basically, he was using Tesla work. He's producing quick sparks that where he could catch the negative energy, then run it through. As you run the resistance, it causes everything to cool down, but you're producing more current as you do so. And at the end of his experiment, past the light bulbs, he was putting the energy into a battery, which would cause it to convert back to regular electricity. But basically what it would do is reverse the chemical operation in the battery when the energy happened. Mm-hmm. But it'd keep the batteries cool. They didn't heat up when they were recharging by this way. And you could recharge them instantly.
I noticed the QEG and other generators like the Hendershot generator are based on resonance.
Well, everything is based on resonance.
That's the thing that gets it started.
Well, you have to have a resonance to be able to hook into the zero-point energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, zero-point energy is just two resonances that are 180 degrees out of phase. when you induce an energy into the quantum nature, what happens is it creates copies. It creates both positive and negative copies of it. So you just add it, you're pulling energy from some universe that you don't even really understand yet.
So we could be killing another planet by just using up power?
No, we're probably collecting it from a totally different universe. When you're using negative electricity, it's slightly different. Negative electricity gathers energy from the ambient air as it flows through the wire, which makes everything cool. That's a little different than zero point energy. You can collect either side of zero point energy, and thus you can create a beam of energy that if it hits an object, it'll just vaporize it. And they've done that, things like that. They can vapor, if they were allowed to use it, they could vaporize the entire continent with it.
Well, what you said before about the Faraday cage made me think that the business of storing radioactive material is just a scam, because they could just as easily, you know, neutralize it.
Or utilize it. You can use it for producing electricity. If you create a material, let's say, like lead, and you add uranium or something to it like that, and make it into a semiconductor, as you throw electricity through it, it would add energy to the electricity.
That's what happened with shungite. I did an experiment. I put shungite in an AC circuit, and mm-hmm. I played with the voltage, raising it and lowering it. And mm-hmm. with the shungite in the circuit, there was actually more current in the circuit than without it.
Well, you can do the same thing with radiation, but the best thing about radiation just photons like anything else. You know, the reason why it's deadly for the body is because you haven't cleared enough of the, you hold things in your substance, you know, emotions that you repress and stuff, and that's what you need to integrate. When you get to that point of integration, I imagine even gamma radiation will not affect you. Is just part of source.
Mm-hmm.
Is a stronger part of source. You know, a stronger part of source will kill most physical beings only because of the repression in their own systems. If they haven't cleared them out, the energy becomes deadly. But if you're cleared out, it's just the opposite. It's just invigorating.
There's it's like somebody wanting to... It's like... what you remind me of those people that years ago used to try to rush through the process, and they wanted to experience samadhi right away without preparing the body. And the teachers will tell you, if you do that, then you'll just burn up the body.
Oh, I've had weird things when I meditated. When I was 17, I was meditating, trying to bring up the energy, and had an orgasm. You know, no touching or anything, you know, it just happened because I was concentrating on the chakra, bringing the energy up the spine, and boom, you know, it just happened. But, mm-hmm. you know, our bodies, you know, first of all, there should be no shame in experimentation. When you're working on spiritualizing yourself, everything is an experiment to you. You know, if you don't get it right the first time, you just try, use your imagination. You come up with a new way, you try it, and you go your own way until you find and begins to understand the laws and stuff. See, it's a lot better to understand the laws through doing instead of having them put out and taken as a matter of fact. Just for the one reason that you're learning, you've experienced both polarities of mm-hmm. things working and things not working. and it gives you compassion for the people underneath you that are learning, you know, to help discover them, that all the answers lie within. Anyway, you're just teaching yourself.
And you're living your reality. You're creating it as you go, as opposed to absorbing somebody else's reality that's telling you the rules is this and this and this.
Yeah.
Well, you don't got no rules. You're making the rules as you go.
All right. I don't want to sell anyone my reality, because they don't want to go through what I went through. You know, for some of the children, they'll have an easier time. They're more connected to themselves. I had to learn the hard way. You know, I'm 57, going on 58, and I had open heart surgery for a valve replacement just a year and a half ago, and it was quite an experience, and I wasn't worried about death or either way. You know, I figured if I died while under anesthesia, it's not going to be painful, and if I'm around and I survive, I have things to do yet, you know. There was no fear. And
so you were standing behind the doctors watching what they were doing?
I can't remember it. But I remember when I come out of it, and it was slightly painful, but they had me on morphine. But my acceleration and healing happened so quickly that the first day they got me up, and towards the evening I walked 1.5 times around the ICU. The next day I walked 20 laps, and they were getting tired and bored of walking, so the next day after that they put me in a room, then they put me into assisted living facility to adjust, because it's painful. They got 40 staples in your chest because they pull your rib cage apart when they cut your sternum down. You know, it's not a pleasant thing, but
like a wishbone.
Oh yeah, like a wishbone. But the thing is, in a way, it was painful. Yeah, it wasn't. It was quite an experience, but I don't really care to repeat it. But there was a lot of excitement with having the thing done, you know, and doing it and going through it. But I don't care to repeat the situation, because I don't want to put my body through what I put my body through when I went through that. I'm beyond that. I don't need that anymore. You know, it was fun. It was a fun ride while it lasted, even though there was ups and downs in the ride. You know, and it's taken me a while to recover from what I've been doing there.
Just so you understand, the Russian military actually builds shungite rooms in their military hospitals, particularly for cardiac victims, because they found that the cardiac victims would be out of the hospital 3 to 5 days faster if they were recuperating in a shungite-built room.
Well, to give you an idea, I was on hospice for 9 months before the operation, because they figured I wouldn't be, since I had COPD, I would not be able to even have the tube removed after the operation. But I had the tube removed that night, and they said not to talk, because you wouldn't be able to, because I have a tube that it would, you know, be rough on you. I just shook my head up and down, let them know I'm all right, and, you know. So, you know, it's just an experience, and like I said, I've already taken the Fluvarine inside, but only took for a month. But, you know, it just all it did was create an acceleration. Let's say the clearing process happened a lot quicker. It's, I mean, you know, everything in me now, basically when I feel emotions that need to come up, it comes up as a pain, then I, you know, send it love in that area, and then the energy comes up, and I yawn it off, and integrate it, and let it go a lot, you know, a lot of the stuff doesn't even deal with this physical body. It's things in the past, it's an ancestry, it's part of the earth. You know, you're working all parts simultaneously. You know, you're not just working it for yourself, you're working for every incursion you had on here, plus your family line, plus the earth itself. And it's, you know, you don't need to separate it, and you don't even have to really understand it. You know, all you got to do is send love to it so it comes up and you can release it, then raise your vibration and stay grounded and share that. It's automatically shared with everyone in the universe, so you don't have to worry about it.
Makes more sense than processing.
Oh yeah, it's just process. And like I said, the stuff accelerates process. So if you haven't if you're having problems, difficulty processing your stuff, you don't want this because it will have a tendency to probably process you very quickly.
Yes, and that's what we call a healing crisis. And some of us, if we work with these things, go through healing crisis after crisis, because the more you work with these things, the more you clear or dislodge, let's say, these little fellows, memories, other things, traumas, and all that stuff.
Yeah, let Nancy tell us about that experience that they had with her team with men. And men would have these explosive reactions.
Yeah, well, the Shungite, that's because the long-range cosmonaut trips, they found that the cosmonauts were coming back crazy. And the Russians, or the Soviets at the time, determined that it was because the bioelectromagnetic field in outer space does not exist, which is the field where the brain is, you know, is supposed to be operating. So now any flight has a Schumann resonator on board the ship, so that doesn't happen. But one of the things that was very interesting was that they found that men were much more inclined to be detrimentally affected by it than women. Women sort of like, you know, just went with the flow and got through it. But men started to fight it, and the first indicator that they were having a problem was aggression. And one of the things that we find interesting about Shungite is that we get a lot of reports of, because a lot of women buy the Shungite. Men do too, but, you know, when a woman buys the Shungite and then brings it into her home, it changes the bioelectromagnetic field of the house. So the man comes in and all of a sudden he can't think right. And so you have these deep eruptions of the mates of these people that have changed the electromagnetic field in the house with their mates. It takes a little bit of time, and some guys have it easier than others, but they really have to get used to the new set of bioelectromagnetic fields. And that's why we tell them, you know, make sure that you don't leave that field and go back into your work environment without having Shungite on you, because you're going to go back into the work environment, which is, again, another totally different one. It's the one you were used to, but it's, you now you're living in two different ones. So men do have, especially, you know, if they're sensitive to it, they're having more problems adjusting to the change. And because it's not just that, it's just like you guys are saying, when we first started out with Shungite, and there was only, I mean, the Europeans sort of understood it, and there was only a very few people in the United States that was dealing with Shungite at all. But what I found, and one of the things I found, was that the tumbled rocks and the rocks that had been made into figurines or pyramids or any of that sort of thing, they were not as powerful as the raw rocks, which only makes sense because I've been dealing in minerals for decades, and something that is cut is normally not as powerful as when you get it right out of the ground, except for garnet. It's the only one I know that gets more powerful when it's cut. So anyway, I kept saying, get the raw shungite. But after a while, as more and more shungite got out there, as more and more people understood it, as shungite got more powerful, then even the tumbled ones and the figurines started to pick up the energy. So we are changing the energy because we are accepting it. And the more people that get into the shungite, it's just going to happen. And all of this bad electromagnetic, see, what we're finding, JL, with the shungite is that when you put it on your, like your router into your system, that it actually changes the electromagnetic field in the house and the Wi-Fi, but the electromagnetic, I mean, I know that Wi-Fi is electromagnetic, it's just that people sort of think there's two different systems, they're just different frequencies. But when the shungite's there, it modulates, or as the Russians are using the word, attenuates. Nobody's saying that they're all acknowledging that shungite will protect you from radiation of all sorts, but none of the Russians are saying that it's absorbing it. They've done innumerable studies trying to find out the water purification capability of shungite. Well, is shungite absorbing all these metals and these bacteria and everything, how long is it going to last? And they cannot see a deterioration in the shungite. So it's energetically changing it, transmuting it. And, you know, that's the key to the shungite, is that it's actually traveling, it's taking the towers and the electromagnetic system and all the BS that they've put on top of it, because you can add stuff to carrier waves. The carrier wave is carrying the signal from your television to you, whether it's by land or over air. It's carrying a signal. They can add stuff to that that you can't even understand you're getting hit with. The smart meter, it comes in, it goes blip through your house, reads everything, and then disappears. Well, it didn't disappear. It just hit you with a lot of dirty shit. Sorry, shit. But what happens with the shungite is that all of this field has changed. And so what's happening is that in the beauty of it, we couldn't make this up if it was fiction, is that Gaia has given us a mineral that will take the very system that the black forces have used to control us and take it over and make it healing and enlightening. And well, that's real magic.
What I recommend is that you should that people should give it to kids under 3 to 5 years of age before they get programmed and go to school and stuff, where they wear it all the time, and it will help protect them, because the change happens in the children more than even us. You know, we're limited because we got a lot of programming to go through. The children, they're open when they're born. If you can get the sugar like this material to them and have people utilize it for the children, it'll protect the children from even their parents.
Well, let me tell you a story. My partner, Stephanie Dietz, she has a daughter, Jordan, and Jordan wants to take the pendants, the shungite pendants, into school. And I hear about this, and I'm going, this isn't for kids, it's for adults, and I'm bitching about it. And what happened was that she brought it in to some of her friends. I think there was four of them in the classroom that had the shungite on. And Dylan, who was 7 years old, Jordan 7 years old, when he got picked up by his mom, he was all excited, and he said, I thought we were going to have a terrible day at school because we had to be tested on the computer. Now, his mom didn't know that he was having troubles, but he said to her, yes, when I have to be tested and I have to go on those computers, I get a headache. And he'd get nauseous, and he'd have, you know, physical symptoms from actually having to interact with that computer. He said, but when I put that shungite on, I felt like a superhero, and I had a force field. And his mother was like, whoa, what's this all about? Well, then I don't remember if it was Dylan or Jordan, but one of them said, it was Jordan, because she said, Mom, it was like our energy wearing the shungite went through the computer system and affected everybody in the school. So, yes, we understand now, especially me with no kids, that the kids are the ones that see the real benefits of it immediately. And that is a group that we are targeting. We are trying to get people, the moms and the dads, to understand that your children are being attacked by an electromagnetic pollution that is affecting them at the cellular level, never mind everything else is going on. And there's a Dr. David Carpenter out there. He works for Albany University, and he is out. He says, look, this is so bad, and he's got the statistics. He's out there. He's making waves. And he said, the reason that you people don't know about this is it's being actively covered up. So we started to just give shungite to the kids. And the school that Jordan is now going into, they have a it was the one that she just left. They have a teacher there that every year when she started with her new class would give them a piece of shungite. And she's from one of the islands. I mean, in the islands, they understand the magic of minerals and things. So you're absolutely correct. It is the children who need the help most and are the ones that are most receptive to it. You know, we gave this one kid at this event, again, this crazy event, there was this one kid that came up to the table and he wanted a pendant for his mom, but he didn't have any money. Then he came up to the table again and he was just, you know, mesmerized by the shungite. So I said, let's get him a pendant. And so the third time he came up, Stephanie handed him the pendant, and the kid's face lit up like he had been given the most important gift of his life. And she said, come here, I'll put it on you. And, you know, she puts it on him, and he's holding it in his hands. And when the cord was tied tight and he let go of it, he went, ugh, so loud that it startled me. You know, I mean, this is what this felt from this mineral.
Yeah. Well, the children are our future.
Oh, absolutely.
And like I said, if you get them early enough, it protects the children from the adult programming from their parents. So if we can get this out at an early age, before even school, they can keep their psychic abilities without having them go underground, so to speak.
We had another case where this, again, Stephanie, a friend of hers had just had a baby, and Stephanie goes over to meet this child for the first time, and the baby's crying, and the mom is just frantic. She's like, she won't stop crying. And so Stephanie said, well, I know what's wrong here. And she started pulling out shungite, putting it on the electric system, and then said, okay, we're going to give this baby a bath. And she put the shungite in the water, charged up the water, and then used that as the bath water. That child stopped crying. And since they've got the what we call a shungite environment, the child has not been a crier. It's a normal child, you know. Well, so yeah, even a baby who's only 2 weeks old is they were distressed because they were basically in pain, you know, whether it was a spiritual pain or a psychic pain or, you know, just a physical pain. And that's what we've got to get it into the minds of the people. And I'll tell you, the real problem we're having is that human beings are basically good. And they just don't have the imagination to imagine why somebody would do this to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the crisis we're having.
Because it's not rational.
We can say, wake up all you want, but if they can't understand evil...
Well, evil's not rational.
No, it's not.
They try to be.
There's nobody good that I know.
Or say they think rationally, but they don't. You know, because you don't have to reduce the population to cause harmony. All you got to do is stop doing what is disarming us. And harmony establishes itself. You know, the earth can compensate for population and everything else as long as you're willing to work with her. And
absolutely.
And the thing is the quicker we go up in vibration, the quicker we are allowed the other access of even leaving the planet. in ships and other things, so the population won't be massive. The change in vibration will also cause a change in diet, so we don't have to eat meat or anything else like that, where we animals can roam mostly, and we don't have to occupy all the space that we do, or even create food or anything else. We can get to a point where we can actually manifest our own food when we desire it. If you want a pizza, you can just think, oh, I'd love a pizza, and all of a sudden a pizza appears. But, you know, that don't happen until we break down these barriers, and the only way we're going to break down these barriers is to affect the entire planet. And the best way of doing that is, like I said, we got to get control of the grid.
Shungite Spirals by Walt Silva. Jake, whatever JP's going to come up with. Because, you know, Jay, I got to tell you, I think that there might be an energy difference between the way Shungite works here in the States and the way it works over there.
Well, you know, we come down to the 54 situation. Your frequency is at 60. Our frequency is at 50. I believe it should be 54. For the sole reason that it's an octave of A, it's a frequency of A, which is 432, which is the heart frequency, and Pythagorean and geometric realities kind of prove that, and we're tweaked away from it, and I think perhaps Shungite tries to bring us back to that, at least brings us back out of the harmful aspects of it. That's what I think.
Any difference in your equipment before and after the resonator, or no change whatsoever?
It's hard to tell.
Well, at least you got more creative. You've been making stuff.
We've been very creative. Yeah, definitely. definitely, actually, you know, we've been working things out, and I've been able to process some stuff. And yes, last night, Wolf Baby and I got very creative, and I'm just at the moment posting. I posted for her creations, and I'm just about to post some of mine, which is I made. Do you know the thing? How Buckminster Fuller called it a vector equilibrium, and it's composed of squares and triangles, and then there's also a star tetrahedron, which is that's two tetrahedrons, like I was saying before. But this one's made of silver twisted wire, and the other one's made of copper twisted wire. So it was a sort of silver gold and energy thing going on with it. So I'm just about to post them.
Are they made into a Merkaba?
Yeah, exactly. One of them is a Merkaba, and the other is a it's the inversion of the Merkaba, because it wasn't Nassim Haramein, it was his mate who makes these beautiful geometric forms, and he basically took the vector equilibrium and the star tetrahedron and demonstrated that if you make there's a point where you can cut them in half. And you just stack them in opposite directions. So instead of like north to north, you go south to south. One forms a star tetrahedron, and the other forms the cube octahedron.
Mm.
It's really cool. We made one, actually. And a friend of mine took it, and he's enjoying its meditational benefits. The good thing about geometric forms, they get you into a meditative state, because it occupies your left brain thinking, oh, look at those angles. And it occupies your right brain saying, oh, look at the spaces. and it gets you to that that point that Jay's talking about, the zero point of being in the central point of your mind, not left, not right, not positive, not negative, but in divine neutral, as it's been called.
Well, that's where everything exists. But the thing is, we all have our different aspects that we, our imaginations drive us to, and together we'll find the way. You know, this is just one aspect that we're working on. There's many aspects, and things come together. You know, you got your divine geometry, but you also have your, every substance is divine. Every aspect in existence is your way to escape this existence, or if not even escape, to enlighten the existence. You know, not only metals or anything else, any substance that you give your attention to can teach you things that'll help you evolve even further. A simple stone made of limestone, if held in the hand and focused upon, gives you a focus that can open up memories. We're the living library, so to speak, so we usually use the external to help us activate the internal. I can't say much more than that. You know, it's just one of the spots. We all have our epiphanies, and we follow our directions. But the thing is, when the collective comes together, all these things will make sense, and will evolve even further. You know, there's things that I don't know, but others have been experimenting on. Like I said, the substance I had wikied before I even got on the show. But to find that I had taken the Wolverines and stuff like that, kind of hooked into it, and the last 2 weeks I've been studying tachyon particles. And that,
tell us about tachyon. I came across tachyon beads about 20 years ago, but of course I had total skepticism. I just looked like a little bead, didn't seem to do anything. But probably I was dense as heck then. So what are tachyon beads, and what do they do?
Well, what I feel like, we got to get rid of the physics of the thing to begin to understand it. What we got to do, I look back earlier in my history to what's called spin energy that was developed by the Russians. You know, the torsion spin. And they said that it created vortexes, and from these vortexes, the energy had the ability to accumulate around an object and to affect it, and that affected the health and other things of beings. So you begin wondering if tachyon energy is not the same as orgone energy or other things, or, and you have a tendency to work at it. There's one that's offering silicon dioxide plates that look like CD discs that have been charged with this energy. What I think is that either it's been torsion energy that he had charged these discs for 14 hours or so, or that he created a zero point field and let the etheric energy imbibed into the disc. There, you know, we don't know if it acts like a particle or if it acts like a photon. It could be any of the two.
But I had read that tachyons, some authors refused to refer to it as energy because some refer to it as the precursor to energy, meaning that it exists in a octave above what we define as energy.
All right. Well, that's what I'm saying. A lot of these things, you can't tell if they act more like a photon or if they act like a particle. The closest thing is when you research ether, they're a particle state that flows from one state to another, but their speed seems to vary for some reason. And if you read the tachyon field theory, they seem to, they run up immeasurable portions of the C4 or greater down to about C1, and they interact with particles. And what is transferred is a sort of an energy, sort of a knowledge, so to speak. You could consider it like torsion energy can carry information, and you're being transferred information from one dimension to another dimension, from one speed to a time-space speed. And it doesn't matter really if it's a particle or a wave, because we learned in quantum that both exist simultaneously. When you try to pin it down, or when consciousness focuses on it, it becomes a particle.
In other words,
when it's a wave, it exists everywhere simultaneously, and that's what we're left with, is what is it? It's affecting our universe, and we don't know how, but it seems to behave by this torsion energy, by geometric form, collects it. Certain materials may be collected because of their geometric form. Wolverines is like a buckyball.
Right. So, Jay, sorry, mate, but we've got to go. we're out of time. We have another show coming along in a second. So thanks. I mean, really, Grand Elder, if you'd like to come back on further roundtables, I'd love to have you back.
Okay, it'd be a delightful. I'm totally interested with all the people involved.
Excellent. So, thank you very much, everybody. Nancy, would you like to do the website thing for yourself? I'll, everybody do their website thing, you know, where you find it.
Yeah, it's cosmicreality.net, cosmicreality.net. And once you get there, you can get the links under the homepage tab for going to the Facebook page and groups we've got there. And you'll also find the Shungite store. And you can find some of Walt's Shungite devices. And thank you so much, J.L. Larson. It's been so very good to talk with you. I enjoyed your other shows. Walt, have a good one. Jay, love you guys.
You too. Take care, Jay. Take care, JP.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much, Jay.
Have a great night, everyone.
Good to have Jay's.